This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Now then, today and all this week, the final message from the series we've been calling What Jesus Did, He Does, from the Gospel of Mark. We begin today with a story told by George and Betty Morrison. George Morrison is a writer from Dublin, Ireland. He also is the elder of a church in Dublin, and he's a great writer, has great insights into people through his writing. I want you to listen to his story as we begin. George and Betty had an experience where they were out driving somewhere, and they overheard this college girl, young lady from the United States, who was kind of desperate and frantic. She was explaining to people that she was on a cross-country bus in Ireland and she fell asleep and didn't get off at the stop where she was supposed to for the youth hostel where she was staying. And she was just telling people, I don't know what to do. I missed my stop and I'm miles away from where I'm supposed to stay. Well, George and Betty went up to her and said, wherever you need to go, we'll take you. And that's the kind of people they are. We'll just, whatever it is, we'll take you. Don't worry about it. And so George and Betty took this young lady to her hostel miles away. And on the way, they said, what's your story? What are you doing in Ireland? She explained that she had just come from South America, where she was researching her father's lineage and ancestry. Her father was from South America. And she said, now I've come to Ireland. My mother's from Ireland. And I want to find out my history here. I want to find out who I am. And she said, even though my parents are divorced, I still want to find out where my father's from and where my mother is from and learn something from that. George went on in his blog to tell about how a popular TV show in Ireland right now is a show, a reality show with this title, Who Do You Think You Are? Who Do You Think You Are? And what it is, celebrities from Ireland are shown researching their family history. And they're shown looking up the past, and it's sometimes embarrassing as a man or woman finds out their great-grandfather was a horse thief or worse. And maybe one of them found out that grandma wasn't the sweet elderly lady they thought in her younger days. She was a different kind of person. And so all of that is shown in this program, Who Do You Think You Are? I begin by asking you that question today, who do you think you are? I've got an answer for you that when you leave today, I hope you'll be able to say that you are a man or woman who loves the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We'll talk about what that means. And you happen to be a man or woman who actually loves other people. Why? Because Jesus would say, of all the commandments, the two greatest commandments are those I just referenced. Jesus lays down the law in this series, what Jesus did, he does. It's from Mark 12 today, beginning at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And then listen to what Jesus says. There is no commandment greater than these. What a statement. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You're not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Jesus is confronted by a lawyer of the day, a lawyer meaning a Jewish lawyer who was familiar, a teacher of the law. And when he asked Jesus this question, what's the greatest commandment? Your first thought is like mine. When I was younger, I could picture Charlton Heston as Moses in the old movie, The Ten Commandments, coming down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, and there's 10 laws written on them. But do you know the average person doesn't realize that God gave Moses more than the Ten Commandments. He gave him 613 laws. 613. Think about that for a minute. That's what the Lord gave to Moses. And so with that in mind, the lawyer says, out of all those 613 laws, what's the greatest? And Jesus said, I'll tell you what they are. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything hinges on those two. Now here's the thesis of the message. If Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, said those are the two most important commandments, how do they rate in your life? What place do you put those two commandments in your life? And you know, a lot of Christian people would say, I never even think about it. It never crosses my mind, but that's what the Lord God Almighty said through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These are the two great commandments. I want to give you a flavor for some of the laws. Where do you find those laws? You find them in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Leviticus. Some of it's very explicit about sexual conduct, about conduct in business, family issues, getting along with your neighbors. It's all spelled out. And just to give you a taste of it, I'm going to read just a few of them from Leviticus 18, starting with verse 13, which is what I referenced with the rich young ruler, because Jesus did. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Don't hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Remember, we talked about that. Listen to this. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. God doesn't want you to mess with handicapped people. To curse the deaf means you mock the deaf. You ever made some fun of somebody who's deaf? The Lord says, don't do it. Don't put a stumbling block out in front of a blind person to trip them up. Did people do that? Evidently they did. And God says, I'm going to set down a law. You don't mock the deaf and you don't try to trip up the blind. Listen to this one, verse 15. Do not pervert justice. Don't show partiality to someone because they're poor. And don't show favoritism to somebody because they're rich. Isn't that interesting? You don't tell somebody who's poor and say, well, you're poor, you can break the law. It's okay. And conversely, you don't turn around and say, well, you've got money, you don't have to follow the law. You don't show partiality, you show justice to both is what it says. You judge your neighbor fairly. Don't go about spreading slander among your people. Don't do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Listen to this one. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. Never hated anybody in your heart? We all have. Don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's what Jesus referenced. Now listen to this one. This is unbelievable that it even has to be in the Bible. 14 of chapter 20. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, it is wicked. I'll tell you, it's more than wicked. It's crazy wicked if a man marries a woman and then marries her mother. But it's condemned in Scripture. I had a man, honest to goodness, came out the first service. He says, my mother-in-law yells at me so much, I might as well be married to her. So I don't know what he meant by that. You can interpret it any way you want. Why am I sharing that with you? Just to give you a taste of 613 laws like that. And Jesus said, you want to know the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Why am I sharing that with you? Just to give you a taste of 613 laws like that. And Jesus said, you want to know the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to love the Lord and what does it mean to love people? It means just like you love anybody. Those of you that remember the days when you were dating, one of the things you do when you love somebody is you open up your life to them. Maybe you had a conversation that went like this. You know, if this relationship continues, I need to tell you something. You need to know something about my childhood. You need to know something about what I went through 10 years ago. You need to find out some things in our family that you don't know about. And you open your life to a person. When you love the Lord your God, you open up your heart to him. And you don't have to tell him anything, but it does you good to say, Lord, here's my story. Here's what I've been through. Here's what I'm going through. Here, this is what I want to share with you. That's what it means to love other people. You open up your life to people. What's it mean to love people? Well, you yield when you love someone. What do you yield? You yield your time. You yield your talent and you yield your treasure. That's what it means to love somebody. You yield yourself to another person. And there's something wrong when a man says, I expect everybody to yield to me, but I'm not going to do it. And there's something wrong when a woman says, everybody better yield to me because it's all about me and I'm not going to yield to anyone. Love is mutual yielding in a relationship. We yield to one another. And believe it or not, love is submitting. There's an act of submission when you love someone. There's mutual submission in marriage. It's not just one way. And you say, why are you talking about love in that way? For this reason. That's how we're to love God. I read a story this week that caught my eye because it's a preacher from Cleveland talking about people in Cincinnati. So that got my eye, that part of it, just the geographical reference there. It's a funny story, but it really makes a point how that when we love people, we not only should do things that are nice, we should do things that actually help people. You ever had somebody do something for you and you say, well, it didn't help me at all. Glad he did it. Glad she did it, but it sure didn't help the situation. We've all been there. Eric Dillenbeck is a Presbyterian minister in Cleveland. He writes about a friend of his named Roger who told him a story about going to Nicaragua with a group of young people for a mission trip. While there, the group was out in the middle of a dense and remote rainforest working on some projects intended to help the local people and the local economy. Now get the site. They're in a rainforest out in the middle of nowhere in Nicaragua. But every day, Roger walked past this huge trailer, the kind pulled by a big truck, an 18-wheeler type thing. It had obviously been there for a long time, and after walking past this trailer for several days, Roger's curiosity finally got the better of him, and he asked his guide from Nicaragua, what's the story on this truck? What's in it? The guide simply smiled and said, come here, I'll show you. As he opened up the back of the truck, he said, I think it came from Ohio, and I think it came from a town you people call Cincinnati. And he opened up the back of the truck, and the truck was full of toasters. That's it, just toasters. Sent to a group of people who live in the rainforest, no electricity. They didn't even know what toasters were, but he said the people meant well, and they sent us a whole semi-load of toasters. And Eric Dillenbeck made the point, it was a nice gesture, but it didn't help them. When you love somebody, you do things that benefit the person spiritually, benefit them emotionally, benefit them physically, because you see, that's what love does. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, but you also love people. And then from the back of your Bible, 1 John 4, just two verses. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, listen to this, he is a liar. Wow. He is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I'm going to share some things with you that I've never read anywhere, but here's what I think. I think love, loving God and loving people, brings out the best in you. Dr. Leroy Lawson was a minister in Phoenix, Arizona, who for 3.5 days a week was the minister of this large church in Phoenix. Then he would hop on an airplane and fly to Los Angeles, where he was the president of Hope University for 3.5 days. I don't know how he did it for years. Two jobs, two full-time jobs that he did about 3 days each for years. And he writes about a man from Oklahoma by the name of Tom Tucker. He said Tom Tucker was a pilot of a small single-engine aircraft. He was flying across Oklahoma when the single engine failed. He looked for a clearing, but as he landed his plane, he overshot the clearing and crashed into a clump of trees. Dr. Lawson's details of the injury is so explicit that I'm not even going to read them. I mean, it wouldn't do any good to tell you how badly injured. Just trust me. He was so traumatically injured in that crash that when he got to the emergency room, the attending surgeon told one of the nurses, I give him about 10 minutes to live. He's got about 10 minutes and he'll be dead. But the surgeon would say later, for some reason, he started working on Tom Tucker surgically. And 30 minutes of surgery turned into 1 hour.
And 1 hour turned into 2 hours, and 2 hours turned into 4 hours of surgery, and 4 hours turned into 8 hours of surgery. And 9.5 hours later, he finally finished. When he was done, he was so drained emotionally and physically, the surgeon was, that he pointed to the man and said to the nurse, some of you won't understand this, but some of you will. Here's exactly what he said. If that guy dies, I'm going to kill him. If that guy dies, I'm going to kill him. But he didn't die. He lived. I want to suggest to you that what happened to that surgeon, what he did as an act of love, brought the best out of him. Imagine how physically and emotionally draining it was to concentrate on operating on a person with just a couple of helpers for 9.5 hours. It brought out the best in him. What has love done for you in bringing out the best in you? What has loving God and loving your family and loving other people done to bring out the best in your life, in your heart? I want to suggest to you that if you were to get up tomorrow morning and look in the mirror and say, do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, and do I actually love people, that could be the greatest decision you make this year. It may be the greatest decision you make in your life. In fact, I know it is. Why? Because Jesus is asked by a lawyer of the day, what of all 613 laws are the greatest laws? And Jesus said, hands down, here they are. Love the Lord your God and love people. Everything else falls underneath that. Well, I'm going to ask you to make every effort to hear the last part of this message tomorrow on Cross Hope from the Gospel of Mark, the last message from the series entitled What Jesus Did, He Does. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org to listen to any message you've missed, but also to find out how you can become a part of a ministry that we call Cross Hope Radio. That website again, one more time, crosshope.org. God bless you. But the most touching part of the special was when a woman doctor from England, who specializes in working, get this, with the mothers of special needs children. That's what her specialty is. She works with moms of special needs children. And she said, this really shocked us when we heard this, but here's what she said. When a mother of a special needs child has all the stress that she deals with raising a handicapped or special needs child, here's what she said. She doesn't age 1 year and 12 months. She ages 6 years in one 12-month period. You do the math. If a woman with a special needs child ages 6 years in 1 year, they've measured that somehow physiologically, then 10 years is like aging 60 years with a special needs child, and it's really debilitating. But here's the powerful part that almost had spirit, it did have spiritual overtones to me. She said, we've discovered, however, when these women of special needs children get together and they encourage one another and they help one another and they love one another, and I, even though they didn't mention, I'm sure they prayed for one another. There were believers in that group. Here's what she said, physiological things happen that are measurable in their blood work. There are things that are measurable in other tests that they can do, that these women who are aging at 6 years every year because of the stress are improving in their health because they're doing something. The Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. I think there's a spiritual connection with it. Is it possible the Lord wants you and I to love him with all our hearts and minds, which means every part of us, and to love other people? Because not only does the Lord deserve it, that's a given, but it actually makes us better people physically. It makes us better people emotionally. It makes us better people spiritually in every way to be a man or woman or young person who says, I happen to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, and I mean it. And I happen to love my neighbor, other people, as myself. Isn't it interesting, one of the most popular TV shows in Ireland today, Who Do You Think You Are? Who do you think you are, as people trace their roots and trace their heritage and trace to find out who their great-great-grandfather was, who their great-grandmother was today? Who do you think you are? Leave here today. Decide that it can be said of you, I am a man, I am a woman. Two things. I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I love people. because that's what the Lord told me to do in 1 John. He says, he who says, I love God, but I hate my brother, is a liar. Doesn't get any plainer than that. How do you need it spelled out any clearer than that? If I claim to love God but don't love people, I am a liar. Why? Because God is love, and every time you love, listen to this, I'll leave you with this thought. Every time you love, you express love. That's a God moment. Not in some New Age context. I don't mean it in that way. But if God is love, every time we love, God is in that. The Bible says God is love. Every time we love, God is in that moment. He's in that act, that event. Why? Because he's love. Decide today to be a man, a woman who loves. And you know what? Your life will never be the same. Let's pray together. But Lord, remind us that we are to be people of love. That when all the dust settles in our life and the life is over and there's the final accounting, so to speak, what's going to matter is, did we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and did we love people? Everything else takes a back seat to that. Everything does. The education, the achievement, the resume, it's all backseat stuff. What's in the front seat is, did we love you? And did we love people?
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.